Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hour number two of Show and Vern. I am Ron the Show Hughley, and that over there is Joshua Lamont Vernier. Steve Sirt is producing this bad boy. As we said, coming up here in just a second, center fielder for the Kansas City Royals, one of the newest Royals, one of the real exciting Royals coming up this year because of his speed. Billy Hamilton will join us coming up here in just a second. So make sure you hang in with that on us. All right, we got Billy here. Billy, I was on Instagram and I saw that your son and my son were wearing the same pajamas, literally the same exact PJ Masks pajamas. And that means a lot to me. It makes me feel like we have the same taste. And I'm curious, who picked out the pajamas? Was it you?
I can't say if I picked them out or not, man. I don't know if I had that much swag or not, but but yeah, they're different than my pajamas, man.
I appreciate it. I saw that. I said, man, our kids wear the same pajamas. No, your time here, when you visit, I know you're here for Fan Fest. Is Kansas City very similar to what you experienced in Cincinnati in this short time you've been here?
Well, I mean, I couldn't say this would be the same thing I experienced. You know, I haven't been there as much. Like I said, I didn't really get a chance to like view the city wide because of the stuff that we had to do during the Fan Fest. And but I said, as a team wise, I feel like, you know what I'm saying, it's the way these people welcome, the way the teammates welcome me into the Fan Fest without even really knowing me like that, without not even actually getting to meet me was similar to Cincinnati. Because everybody over there is like a real nice people, and they welcome you great. So me coming into a Fan Fest, just standing on those fans, and like the fans like don't even really know, like, well, I would say they don't know about me. They don't know about me, but they know of me or not about me. And for me just to get there in Fan Fest to meet those people and just to sign autographs and just to be around the kids and who hasn't actually seen me in person before was like one of the best feelings ever.
So before you sign with the Royals, what is the impression of the Kansas City Royals as an organization? Because we heard another former Red in Homer Bailey make the point that, hey, you know, you have a 6 ERA like I did. I'm certainly not going to find myself in pinstripes in New York. I'm wondering what, from the outside, a guy that's never played here, how you view this organization.
No, I say me being around just a little while. I won't say I've been around long, but just been around for a little while. I've never heard anything bad about the organization ever. I always knew that it was all about winning, and you never came to a social media post about the Warriors rebuilding or something like that. It's all about we're trying to build a team to win. We're trying to win, and it's just by hearing that, it's kind of makes you want to go to that place. And like I said. In Homer, where he said he had a 6, so I didn't hit as well as I should be. But having a chance to play here in this big field gives me more balls that I probably hit in Cincinnati that didn't fall, could probably fall in this big part. So me coming here was like, and talking to Dayton before I even signed over here was like, he told me like that he's been trying to get me for a while, and that means a lot. When you said, I want to tell you that he's been trying to get you for a while, and then that's just something that you take into heart, and you just want to be a part of something. Something like that, and be a part of a winning organization.
Royals outfielder Billy Hamilton, our guest here on Show and Vern on 610 Sports Radio. Billy, I am a diehard baseball fan. Baseball's always been my number one sport. And yet, with what we've seen the past few years in free agency, man, the one thing that baseball always, it appeared, had going for it was, man, you can get money, You can get a lot of guaranteed money if you can make it to the bigs, and you can also have your health. With what we're seeing lately with the offseason, man, and what we saw Kyler Murray do, man, it was a tough day to me because I don't know if, like your son, show mentioned your son. I don't know if the younger generation is ever going to choose baseball over football again. Where do you come out on that?
You know, man, like, I had the situation of Kevin and me too going to football and baseball, but I mean, not professionally like Murray did, but like I just feel like, I mean, you don't play a little baseball. Like I said, he's from the South. I mean, I don't know exactly where he's from, but I just feel like with that situation, man, if it was some for me or my child or me telling young kid that I know, I would say, I know the money's good, more guaranteed money is good as football, but like you have a better chance into playing longer and making more money as a baseball player. So if I was talking to kids, I would say, if you had a chance to do baseball over football, I would definitely say take the baseball route. Because like I said, it's better with your health. You can play longer. You don't have as many. You don't have to get as big as you do in football. You don't have to grow up more. But I just feel like I said, Murray, one of those guys. I mean, you never know how it's going to turn out. You know what I'm saying? If he's going to be an NFL quarterback, and he's small like that. But like I said, he's a gamer. So I mean, it really doesn't matter how small you is. I guess if you're a gamer like that. So. But like I said, if it was me and I was talking to them kids back at home where I'm from, or if it was my child, I would definitely say, if you had that chance, I would definitely choose baseball with the health and the long you can play and the money's going to be there. Like I said, if you play well, the money's going to be there. No matter how much guaranteed it is, if you had the ability to be successful at this game, you take that chance.
Is it talked about how difficult it is to market yourself in Major League Baseball? Because again, not being in Cincinnati. My first real introduction to your personality was in the MLB Network commercials that you did a few years ago. It just doesn't seem that someone that does have the personality is, at times it appears, outgoing like yourself. It strikes me that baseball doesn't promote its stars the same way that football does.
Yeah, but, you know, I would say, but yeah, I realize, I mean, I would say baseball has way more stars than football. I mean, like I say, like you can... You see those guys that's in football, and you run across a couple of them that's like really, really like up there. And then, like I said, I definitely think baseball players should be marketed more, like you said. But like I said, I don't know who does that or how to fix that. But I definitely agree with you. Where definitely your stars should be more. Like I said, it doesn't happen in baseball as much as it does in football. So which I would think it should be more in baseball. Than what we have now. So.
All right, Billy Hamilton, we want to get you out on this one, Billy. Just for the people of Kansas City who may not be completely understanding of what type of guy we're getting, what type of player we're getting, how would you describe the Billy Hamilton we're going to see on the field this year?
You're definitely going to see Billy Hamilton back. He's going to give you 100% each and every single day. I'm going to be out there in the city. I'm going to make sure that that I meet a lot of people that I need to meet and just be around the people who, around these fans, you know, these fans, Sony fans love, a lot of teams and a lot of players that don't show fans enough love. So I'm really one of those guys that's definitely going to be out there to be a nice guy. And like I said, it's something that I'm definitely going to give 100% every single day. And then you can look forward to me smiling all the time and looking forward to me having fun on the field and having fun also with the people in the city. So I'm just looking forward to being in Kansas City and looking forward to just meeting a bunch of new people. And like I said, I'm ready for the season. It's going to be fun.
All right, appreciate you jumping on with us, Billy.
No problem. Thank you.
Thank you, Billy. That was Billy Hamilton, center fielder for the Royals, a guy that you should get used to. I'm seeing so much on the text line talking about my man's voice. I didn't notice anything.
What's wrong with his voice?
I didn't notice it. I didn't notice anything. Remember, tonight you can catch Hot Stove with our new Royals insider, Cody Tapp. That will get you kicked off at 6 o'clock and roll right into the Bruce Weber Show. Once again, thanks a lot to Billy Hamilton for stepping on.
10 days show.
Getting big here, right here. This is stuff that pumps the ratings up.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I'm sure that'll be okay. Yeah, so we find out the ratings after the show.
Really, I think that gives us a real push into the next one. 816, okay, I love Billy Hamilton. I'm sold. That means you love us as well. Thank you.
It dominated my household last night.
Billy Hamilton?
No. 10 days. The Michael Jackson documentary comes out in 10 days.
So you're going to push this. This is because
yesterday. I'm going to push this.
You're going to, like, yesterday.
I hate when you do this. You act like we didn't grow up in the exact same era. Yeah, we're different, but he and his music meant a lot to both of us, and it is over in 10 days. 10 days, part one, Finding Neverland on HBO. It's over. I'm not trying to be disrespectful with this, but has this ever happened before? Has there ever been? I mean, this is. Bill Cosby made music, but worse, I don't know what's worse, actually. I'm not doing the comparison thing, but it's over. Maybe you're just able to sit there and look past it and move on, that we'll never be able to play Michael Jackson music again because you've already had that moment with your son. You got a family, a Christmas morning with him, and you've gone out on Halloween with Thriller. I mean, it's...
I've never gone on Halloween with Thriller. Were those your plans?
I had a few plans.
Good heavens.
I'm just saying,
like, you want to force this onto the like, you want this because you've been pushing this.
Oh, don't I have a voice on the show?
I'm just saying, you've been pushing this. We want to hear an MJ song every day as a countdown, and we discussed this yesterday about how uncomfortable it kind of is in a weird way because we're trying to figure out it's not a tribute.
If I didn't get on Twitter or social media and see other people that are still celebrating Michael Jackson music, I wouldn't be here. But I see it come across my timeline, you know, the video to You Rock My World. I want to watch it. But then I know I can't because I'm supporting what appears to, we're going to find out.
But you want us to do a musical countdown. To feel that, are you doing it at home as well?
Like, keep it in the closet. We used that recently on Make Mahomes' Voice Sexy Again. Like, that song.
That's a nasty song.
10 days, Kansas City. 10 days left. The King of Pop. We should be burying him.
Are you prepared that you're going to hate him in 10 days?
I don't know what it's going to feel like. No, I'm not prepared. I know what it feels like to hate R. Kelly. I didn't think I knew what that was going to feel like. I know what that feels like. No, I can't prepare to hate Michael Jackson. I'm not trying to be insensitive.
Dirty Diana is going to be very tough.
I'm just being honest with people.
I know you are.
I know it's a real thing. And it.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
From DeAnthony Thomas, fourth-round pick of the Chiefs several years ago, and I quote, "Hellcat, no scat pack, got a demon too. Beamer, true KC with frog eyes, who is you?"
DeAnthony Thomas?
Yep. This is interesting. I'm gonna pose this question, and the listeners, you can jump in and think this in your mind as well. I posed this to you guys this morning, and wondering if it has changed. What would you do? You're the Chiefs. Jadeveon Clowney, a free agent. Would you rather sign him to a long-term deal? And a long-term deal, I'm talking a deal where you can get out of the contract after 3 to 4 years, and we're thinking an outside pass rusher, $70 million. Jadeveon Clowney, 26, had some health concerns first couple of years, but the last couple of years he's been able to play in all but two games. Would you rather pay him long-term, switching over to 4-3, or would you rather pay and franchise D Ford for the $17+ million.
I got to go with the shorter deal. Yeah, I'm franchise tagging.
Yeah.
I'm too afraid. My 26, though.
26, 4-3.
Like, you could keep him before he's on the wrong side of 30. But still, in the NFL, give me the one-year deal.
It is so, it's becoming so, because I
and because of free agency, you'll likely have to outbid someone. So, yeah, yeah. I don't want to get into a bidding war.
Yeah, and I think it brings up the bigger conversation, man. I've always had my five positions, I believe, of importance. The top positions where I think are premium, where I would spend money on. If they are really difference makers, and I think that the top position obviously is quarterback, and then I think pass rusher and corners, and then really big time playmaking offensive players, like, you know, a Tyreek Hill or a Travis Kelce, and then obviously I think tackles, left and right, in this day and age. But man, it's so hard now to think of, with even pass rushers, how many of those guys I would want to commit to big money. And I don't even think the sting of Justin Houston here does it. It is just like you feel like in the draft you can find – in the draft or younger players, you can find Jerry Hughes's. You can find D Ford's. You can find guys that can rush the passer that are not Khalil Mack's, that are not like – Justin Houston's when he was in his prime, but it seems like, and man, they are such a high premium in cost, right? They are generally the get paid the second most amount as pass rushers behind quarterbacks. And God, how many pass rushers win championships? Von Miller, like, you know, they've had Watt.
How many defenses win championships? If you're going to dump
defenses,
because no one player can do what a quarterback does. Von Miller didn't win that on his own. You got, as you know, Harrison Tlaib. You had a bunch of other pretty solid
Von
players
Miller
on the defense.
He was pretty nuts.
Right,
down that
but he's not what he a quarterback scored. Is.
No, he's not what a quarterback
right.
is.
Right, a quarterback can make everyone around. You need to have some players alongside
but
a defender.
Defensively, though, the pass rusher. When you look at guys like that, they're the ones, but. Von Miller is really the only one that I've seen, even in the AFC Championship game. He gets a pick on Brady that year and score, and he scored a touchdown. Cam Newton, he was just unblockable, and caused so much. He helps the secondary in so many ways. It's still, though, they've had J.J. Watt. They don't, even in his prime, they haven't been wildly successful in the postseason. Like, I just... Because of the amount that you got to pay pass rushers, it is.
See, I feel like
it is hard for me to even go long term.
Forget pass rushers.
You think?
It's every position but quarterback. Other than a franchise quarterback, it's difficult to convince yourself to pay any position. Now, if you draft and develop, maybe it's a little bit easier when you're getting a 24-year-old Tyreek Hill or a 24-year-old Chris Jones. It's easier when you do that. But, man, defensively, as far as if everyone's a free agent, who am I willing to pay the top dollar to? Non-quarterbacks? Yeah, it's Donald, it's Mac, it's Vaughn, it's, what, we went over like six wide receivers, in my opinion. That's it. So six wide receivers, three or four defenders.
Yeah, there, but
there's 10, 11, maybe I'll go on the high end. 15 players in all of the NFL that I would pay big money to, and there's probably seven quarterbacks that I would pay big money to. I just think it's tough to pay anyone other than
the
quarterback
because
of where this game is going.
I think there's a point there, but I think there are other positions that even the high mark at that position isn't as huge in terms of money.
Wide receivers, too. I'll put wide receiver,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I think because now Odell has taken it up. But before that, Julio Jones was getting 40, 50 guaranteed. That number is not as high as 70, 80. Like, you know, like that, like there are certain positions where I would, because the hit, like running back, that hit is not as big as some of these other positions. Like you could.
But even running back, there's, as far as paying big time money, top dollar for their position. Three running backs in the league?
Yeah,
you
like
pay that?
Like for instance, Le'Veon is a guy who is going to be a free agent. Like when you look at
Careful.
His when you look at his age and stuff, Like, you could probably get away a high mark for Le'Veon, 25, 30 guaranteed at that position. That's just different from a pass rusher. Because, man, you think about Clowney, that's 70, 75. Sure. And that, like, that's the thing with Chris Jones, too. Like, that's 50 to 70 where you got to really, you know, think about it. You could do a little bit more with 30 than you could do at that point. I mean, Clowney would be a much better fit in the 4-3, and he, you know, he's still young at 26. You would think you'd be getting him at his better years. But I think I would agree with you. I think I would agree with you on the short term because you got to know exactly what you're going to be given.
And I think it's common in every football city to feel this way. I do wonder at times if we are jilted in Kansas City because of what happened with Eric Berry and Justin Houston and how we feel, whether it's true or not, but we feel here as if a long-term contract more times than not is going to end poorly.
It's doom.
Because it has in both both professional teams, both the Royals and the Chiefs, the long-term contracts haven't necessarily worked out. I have to believe that most NFL cities, you're fearful of signing any player other than your franchise quarterback. When you look at the league and understand it is such a passing league now, it's bending towards the quarterback and offense to drop big money on a position like rush end, like cornerback, like running back, like on anything other than quarterback and wide receiver. Boy, oh boy, you got to be an exceptional. I'm talking all pro. Borderline Hall of Fame for me to even think about giving you big-time money.
I've always thought pass rush was number two. I think it's been easier to find pass rushers. I'm starting to feel like corners have jumped that. I feel like it's even more difficult now to find corners that can not even just shut down. There's only like three of those guys. It is like I think it is to find like a Stephon Gilmore to find that. I think those are even harder.
No question.
To find. So I'm almost rethinking where I put.
But still, I wouldn't pay a quarterback either because I don't believe that you can truly be a consistent shutdown corner. You can have a nice year
you wouldn't pay.
I don't believe you can put together 4 years of being a shutdown corner in this
league. I'd pay a corner. I would most definitely pay a corner.
If you can get them the way that the Chiefs got a Tyreek Hill or a Chris Jones, where you're paying them when they're 24, I'll consider it. If you draft and develop them. But if they go outside and bring in that Stephon Gilmore, no way.
I would take a chance on that. Newsflash.
Serta's Newsflash.
Boy.
Le'Veon Bell did not play at all last season. He's officially a free agent begins on March 13th. Apparently, the time off was not that well spent, according to a report from the New York Daily News. Le'Veon Bell put on 35 pounds last season, spiking from his listed weight of 225 all the way up to 260.
How do we know that?
That's what the New York Daily News says.
I understand that.
They have sources, supposedly, but I'm pretty sure they make them up, so we don't really know.
I'll just say it.
What?
He got on a scale.
Why'd you say it if you think it's made up?
Because the guy that's reporting it, I don't like him.
I don't know. I feel like I've seen Le'Veon.
Like Jason Lockenfora. He sucks.
I'm not going to say the guy's lying.
Who is he?
He's a liar.
I don't know who it is. I've seen Le'Veon recently. He doesn't look 260. The times that I've seen him of recent, and that'd be a one, like, let me get on the scale and let this one get out. I feel like I don't know. I mean, to know the exact amount that he put on 35 pounds exactly.
Yeah, I don't think he would be in a rush to get
that out. Yeah, I don't know. Or the, like, yeah, that's
I did see him tweet yesterday the free at last quote.
Yeah, thank God Almighty, free at last. Speaking of that, last night's Carolina-Duke game was probably the biggest sporting event that we've had since the Super Bowl. The Prices, the president was out there. King Griffey Jr. was out there. Barbara Walt Barbara Walters was
I was
up there.
Talking about her last night. Has anyone seen her?
And I promise you, no one in America, Vern. We'll get to Barbara Walters
is
in a second.
Is she all right?
Is she with us?
I don't know.
No one. I promise you, no one in America will have the angle that we have coming up in 2 minutes
She's
from
alive.
That game. Yes!
Doesn't look great.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
Welcome back in. Oh, I do apologize if I didn't say former President Obama at the game. President Trump was not there. Obama, President, former President Obama is what I meant to say. But President Obama was at the game, and if you missed it, the big attraction to the game was not R.J. Barrett, although I believe he believes the reason why many people came to see that game yesterday was because of R.J. Barrett. It was Zion Williams, and Zion gets injured 33 seconds in, blows through his shoe, has a knee injury. I don't know if it's been reported yet on the severity of the injury today, but I'm sure that is a big deal. But it was huge, man. They had real stars out. They did game day there. Like, this was a huge deal to me or to the country. It was a big deal. But 33 seconds into it, how quick did you stay with it, Vern?
No.
So when Zion went down and you found out Zion was out, sir, did you stick with it? When you found out he was out, you were...
Bailed.
You bailed completely?
No. I started watching something else. Check back in, but it was always a 10-point spread, so I never stuck with it. Yeah, I was just checking the score on my phone.
I hung in a bit. I stayed in. And then I slid into this really good episode of that I had recorded of Dateline. But I came back into it, but... When all the stars were there, and particularly the biggest one there, President Obama, how many of them you thought were ready to bounce after Zion went down and it was reported he wasn't going to return?
Does Griffey have any reason to be there?
I don't know. I think he just wanted to see it. I think he just wanted to be a part of it and see it live. See, Griffey, I think Griffey could leave. Who else was there? Sean Farnham. Who else was there? I think Barbara could leave. Griffey could leave.
No, Obama's like a parent at a play.
Yeah, that's it. See, Obama, he couldn't just leave. Obama, I don't think, could leave at the half either. He had to stay. I think he had to stay or it'll really look bad.
Have you had those recitals yet or anything like that where once your son performs, you want to leave, but you have to stick it out for the rest of the kids?
No, not yet.
Because if Zion goes down and Obama's like, all right, pull the car around. Secret
let's
Service,
go.
Let's
yeah,
roll.
Let's go. That's a bad look.
Do you know what that would do to those kids?
I ain't.
That guy was the president for most of their life. They have to look up to him. If he bounces once Zion blows out that Nike.
Because in my mind, like, that's it.
That would break my heart.
Protein House, eat with a purpose text line. President Obama comes to see all the players, right? That's what he comes to. But we know what he came to see.
They what know is the, he's not what there to would, see all
And
of
that
them.
Game was a blowout, right? What was the final score of that puppy?
88-72.
All right. They never got it to 10.
No.
In the second half. At what point would it be no longer a bad look for President Obama to leave? I don't think he's got to stay all the entirety of the game, because it wasn't close.
No, he has to stay up until the final 2 minutes of the game.
Oh.
Because then everyone acknowledges, yeah, he's got to leave. He's got the Secret Service thing. He should leave before the rest of the crowd. I totally disagree with Serta real quick. Serta says everyone knows that he was there to see Zion. You pointed out RJ a moment ago.
Andre, RJ.
But it's just like anybody that played high school sports. If you had a good player on your team and a scout was there to watch him, We understand you're here to see him, but I also want to show out for you. If I see you get up and leave, I'm crestfallen.
I disagree with you.
Obama knows that he's not a scout. Obama knows he's the former president, and he is likely an idol
to half of the people on the court. He can't
see,
get up.
See, Griffin could leave at the half. I think it's appropriate where he's okay he leaves at the under 8 minute mark in the second half.
No way.
Because of the score of the game.
How many people get in those final 8 minutes? The guys at the end of the bench.
He doesn't have to be forced to watch the walk-ons. No.
Well,
he
then
doesn't.
All that hope stuff he's been going on about can get blow that out of his ass.
He's there to see Zion because Zion is the attraction. RJ Barrett's a fantastic player, and he had a great game last night. But other than that, there's nothing for him to have to explain.
No, I disagree with that. No, he had
exactly.
No,
a responsibility. Zion's the attraction.
He's right. I think Vern's right.
Basketball. And everyone knows that.
I think Vern's right. He does have the father-parent type of a thing where he has, you chose to come out. Like he had, I think he's got to stay into the second half. If it was a close game, I'd say he had to stay the full time. I think under eight, because it was 15 to a 7-point lead, I think that's a spot where what time did he leave?
11:09 at night with a minute 10 left in the game.
Well, that was perfect, of course.
Obama.
That under two. Yeah, that was perfect.
There's no way 3 minutes goes by in that game.
Someone texted
and
10-minute mark
unsure
in the second
still
half.
There. Everyone on the court always knew if former President Obama was there
or
not.
I know he was walking, shaking hands like he was walking out from the State of the Union.
Before every inbound, the inbounder looked over and was like, "Are you still there?"
So he held it out to 110?
Yep. Wow. 110 left in the game.
Wow, that is. Because, you know, he don't have to beat traffic. It's just going to move.
Right. If it doesn't move, these guys will throw you out of the way.
Yeah. 10-minute mark. See, someone said 10-minute mark in the second. I don't think
so. Oh, my God.
Now, that's
have some respect.
I go 7:45 to me.
What's Coach K going to call him out?
Well, of course not. It's not close. It's just a bad look.
It's for the kids. He's an idol for them. You know, important.
But everyone else there, he had to take pictures.
Maybe he went in the pregame locker room and said hi to people.
But the students too. He took pictures with a lot of the students who had their. What he did was more than I think he had to.
Former Duke Blue Devil Kyrie Irving yesterday was grilled by the media after being seen talking to Kevin Durant about, well, who knows what they were talking about.
I mean, this is the stuff that just doesn't make the league fun. Like, it doesn't make the league fun. Nobody helps promote the league anymore by doing bull like that. I'm just fictitious putting things on, like, what we're talking about. Like, it's crazy. I guess that's what you want.
Right? No. What I'm saying is that it's out there. Do you want to cool it off or whatever by saying, you know? Because obviously people are running with it saying, you know,
yeah,
look, we haven't written about it. We're coming to you to ask you about it, okay?
And people like who then?
Well, it's all over the internet. I mean, it's just, you know.
Is the internet real for you or you like it? It's my life, right? It's two people talking, having a conversation. If this was a real world, would it be anybody else's business? But it's a video of somebody assuming what we're talking about, right?
I hear you, but
making an opinion about it. So why would I care about it?
Well,
why does that have an impact on my life? Why are you asking me those type of questions?
Audio courtesy of ESPN. It was during the All-Star weekend. It was behind the scenes. KD and Kyrie were just talking, and many people in the media have presumed that they were talking about free agent plans for next season. Kyrie unhappy with it.
You know, I'm not. I understand exactly where he's coming from, but I understand where the media's coming. I think the media has a job to do, but I also understand where he's coming from. And I don't. One of the things that I preach and I hate is when us as fans or even us as media will forget that these guys are human too. And that they can have responses like normal humans do. Like that they, like someone say, he's got to be mature. Well, some of this is like, hey, what are you doing? Like how many times has he been questioned or has he had to read on social media or has he had to, about him just having a conversation with Kevin Durant and then it being a deal of, oh, this means that he's screwing over the Celtics. That they're going to come together and go to New York together. Based off of a conversation that could have been about some girl named Cinnamon that they ran into Charlotte.
He does go on a little bit too much about it. It is a little bit too much whining
There is
a human reaction.
There is a part of me that if I could give professional athletes advice, it's don't complain to the media because no one reading it or listening to it or watching it will ever feel bad for you because you are a millionaire playing a kid's game. But the one thing I do think that we as media and all of us as fans often forget and don't even acknowledge is that this current generation of athlete, NFL, NBA in particular, this current age of athlete is under more scrutiny than any athlete in history. You know, we talk about how Jordan and Barkley and the greats of years past, they didn't whine.
Seeing scrutiny.
They didn't bitch in the same way. Because when I first heard this from Kyrie, I want to call him the classic millennial complaining about what's obviously a part of your job. It's a part of your job to answer the questions from the media and understand the camera's always going to be on you. Jordan and those guys, Joe Montana and those guys, didn't have the same kind of scrutiny, the same a camera's always on you, the way that Kyrie. So he might sound like he's complaining, but let's acknowledge it is a completely different sport with a completely different pressure and a lot more attention than ever before.
I think he is complaining, but I think it's a human reaction. I just think sometimes we forget that with athletes, that they are human, or celebrities in any case. Coming up, Vern, you know how I get now. I really hope that this next topic doesn't get your boy's show emotional. I think it will.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
Hey, who's the cat that took a dump on himself? The hockey guy? John Tortorella? John Tudor? Is that his name? John Tortorella?
Adam June?
John Tortorella.
John Tortorella.
That was a high school thing.
That was the coach.
Yeah.
The coach didn't go to the bathroom.
He didn't?
No, he was talking about his player.
Oh, one of his players took a dump on himself?
Today, I was told he's sick, not eating, he's puking. You want me to go into the whole tire tread as far as what happened today with him so we can get that speculation done with as far as that he's going to be moved? He shit his pants, he was puking, he was doing everything. So, enough.
That happened to me yesterday.
Here at work.
There's no punchline to that joke. I'm not lying whatsoever. I felt pushed to have to admit that. I don't think anyone in my house knows it. If my wife's listening to it right now,
so the outside garbage can then, so she won't find it.
Well, no, I just washed them. Just threw them in the.
You washed them?
I washed them.
Oh, you throw those away when you get home?
No. I washed it. It wasn't a ton. Like, you know, it's been straight liquid. So that's, okay.
It's lunchtime.
It almost is. I thought it was going to be a sounder. I thought it was going to be a fart. Mm-hmm. And I got more than I bargained
for. Got a little cavalier with that fart.
Yep. And, yeah, that happened to me yesterday.
It's all right. Everybody does it. We've all done it. I've done it. I did it at Kauffman Stadium once.
Yeah.
In the press box.
I did it at a concert over the summer. I had to ditch my underwear in the bathroom.
Oh, to be in public, that's tough. You said you did it when?
In the press box.
Oh, boy.
Why do I say, only people that know that are you and Binkley, I believe, and I just told everyone.
You did.
Did Binkley bring you pants?
No. It started raining, and I drove home. And by the time I got back, the rain had just stopped. I didn't miss a single pitch. It was heaven sent.
That was huge. Yeah. Yeah, show gambled and lost. You're damn right I did.
Yeah, you sure did.
I did. I thought, and it was stupid of me because I had not been feeling good. I've been having some stomach problems. And when you're having stomach problems, you never really take a chance on what you think it is.
Right.
And.
No, my old man always taught me, always carry a roll of toilet paper with you because you never know when you'll need it.
Baby wipes. Baby wipes are a game changer, even as an adult.
I feel like aren't most of those very bad for the environment? I try not to use them.
I use them a lot.
For
my kids.
Oh, okay.
They are key for music festivals.
Yeah,
I've heard that.
Kids.
Yeah, Stanford Joe said they use that when they go to
Coachella.
Yes. Baby wipes.
Baby wipes.
No, I think I would say.
But this is one that everyone's happened. I had this happen. This is one.
At least most men. I'm not going to speak for women.
I think it's happened to women too.
Well, I don't know. I'm going to say that all the women listening, I know you've never done it, but generally.
Protein House, Eat with a Purpose, text line 69306. I want you as
you
a young lady.
Okay,
has it
sure.
happened? Has it happened? Yeah. Come on now. You've got more than you bargained for.
Pregnancy stuff doesn't count. You're allowed to, blank happens, right?
Off the Rundown.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Off the Rundown, sponsored by absolutely no one. Someone could step up.
We've said all we need to say.
It's happened to everybody.
Right.
Not everybody.
I don't. Binkley's giving me a thumbs up right now. He's done it as well.
There is not anyone who has, at least since they have been wearing underwear, four, five, or six,
Turned 20.
You're right. Even since you turned 20, you had a misjudgment.
Right. You're sick. You had a really rough breakfast in the press box, and you put your feet up on the desk, and you were going to let one loose to make Binkley laugh, and then it went in your pants.
We're saying on the text line, someone saying that the morning show, we're talking about this earlier, and that Bob and Kling said this has never happened to them.
Oh, stop it. Now, Bob, I can believe that he would. Kling is as trustworthy as they come. Kling, you know you have. Stop it. Fesco's got a brand. I can understand he's not trying to tarnish that.
Well, they're lying, though, right?
They have to be lying. They're older than us.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's definitely happened.
Everyone's
Every time
had a misjudgment.
In my 20s, it's just been because I was hungover.
You know how many times I peed
on
myself?
I just had bubble guts.
That's different.
Everyone's had a misjudgment.
No, I don't. How many times have you peed on yourself?
There have been a couple of times since you've known me.
Sometimes you dribble.
Well, that's obvious. I don't think he's talking about that.
He's talking about like a full-blown stream of pee?
I believe he is. I believe he is.
I made it home close. It's happened to them. I don't believe them for a second.
Do you believe LeBron James has gone number two in his pants?
Yeah, in game.
With those tights on?
When I was at Blue Springs, oh, God, I used to pee on myself all the time.
Okay, here's LeBron
James.
In games?
Oh, third quarter.
I feel like I'm going to do it at the combine on Sunday.
A lot of guys peed on themselves in
the football. I was just going to say, in the third quarter, man, especially when I had my purple pants on.
Yeah. I didn't play enough to do it.
I would pee, and then I'd run and just throw water over my pants, really even it out. Yeah.
That just shows that you actually played. LeBron James was asked if he's going to pick up the intensity to try to get the 10th-seeded Lakers to the postseason.
You know, my level of intensity has to be, unfortunately for me, because I don't like to do it at such an early time. I'm a little bit different, but it's been activated, so look forward to seeing what we can do.
Oh, hell.
LeBron's intensity has been activated. I'm disappointed.
Come on, boy. I'm ready to go. I have been so amped about this Houston Rockets Thursday night game tonight. Woo! Let's go, King.
I want him to shut it down. I wanted him to shut it down. You have played like an extra three NBA seasons going to the NBA Finals for the last 8 straight years. LeBron, this ain't the squad that's making it 9 straight. So how about you lean into this groin injury, sit it out, and then really come out. Take a break, man. You are getting old. Look what's going on with D-Wade. My man's retiring. I respect LeBron for this. Look, I understand I'm speaking like a coward, but he deserves a break in May and June.
Listen.
You know what it looks like when he turns on the, I'm better than everyone juice, when that intensity has been activated. It looks draining watching him do it. I don't want to watch LeBron do this
again. We have to go for greatness, in the words of the great Mark Henry, because that's what we do. We have to go out and turn this up for greatness.
Why are you saying we?
Because LeBron. This is LeBron's camp, and I believe that I am a part of it. We have to come out and get into the postseason. Not just an 8 seed, damn it. We got to get to a 7 or a 6 seed. That's what we do.
LeBron, Maverick.
The camp. The camp is big, yeah.
So you're in LeBron's camp now.
I don't think it's just me. Gloria as well. I think a lot of people in Eastern Northeast Ohio, I'm a part of.
Who's Gloria?
His mother.
Oh, my God.
I think I'm a part of a lot of.
Well, then you should want what's best for him and take the year off.
But this is what
LeBron.
We do. He's got to make the postseason.
Stop saying we.
We got to make the postseason. I told you. If LeBron doesn't make the playoffs this year.
Well, now that he said
I take him out of the line of being the best of all time.
But if he
can
sat
no longer
down,
be in the conversation if they don't make the playoffs.
If he
we
sat down,
do this.
Joe, he wouldn't. That wouldn't matter. We would go, well, does, he doesn't have the squad and he's banged up.
You didn't hear me. In the words of the great Mark Henry, this is what we do. Let's go. I ain't never been so amped about no Thursday night game. He about to let James Harden know exactly who he is, and I'm going to be pissed off in here tomorrow if they lose. I mean, hot.
You're not a part of LeBron's camp.
To hell I'm not. To hell I'm not. I didn't know I was going to be able to get Mark Henry in that many times either.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.